Open your Bibles to Romans, which we'll be taking a look at here in a couple minutes. Let me get myself fixed up here. Romans chapter 6. All right. In Robert Frost's poem, The Road Not Taken, he ends it this way. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages, ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. I don't know much about Frost. There are some who say that he was an agnostic, an atheist. There are others who say that he was deeply interested in religion. And there are others who say that he actually claimed to be a Christian. I don't really know much more than that, but it seems to me that the end of this poem lends itself to what Jesus said in Matthew 7:14, when he said, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, whatever the basis for this poem is, and I really don't know, the metaphor seems to me to point to our walk through this journey of life, one that makes all the difference to us. And in this case, I would say it makes all the difference with regard to our destiny. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about the word walk, and that's really what I want to look at this morning. The word walk is used in the scriptures as an actual physical activity, such as in Mark 5:42, when Jesus healed the daughter of a synagogue official, and immediately the girl got up and began to walk. Here the walk literally means our physical activity. However, the word walk is also used figuratively, in which it signifies our conduct, both in a good sense and in a bad sense. And it's this walk that I want to think about today. It's a simple lesson. It's a lesson just looking at what our walk should be. So to begin with, let's look at Romans chapter 6. And let's read verses 1 through 4. Paul writes, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So Paul begins with the fact that our walk begins in a new life when we are baptized. When we come up out of that watery grave of baptism, we start a new life and we start a walk. And I think the scriptures, as we'll see, illustrates this walk as a spiritual walk. And that's what we need to be looking at. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We get a further explanation of this as we look at verses 1 through 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And I think as we see here, it makes the point that our walk, and this walk is a spiritual walk, is not according to the flesh. It is according to the Spirit. Other words, it seems to me that it's saying that it is according to the Word of God. The Word of God. The Spirit has given us the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture has been inspired by God. So we have the Spirit of God right here in these words in our New Testament. And that's what our walk needs to be. And it's not a physical walk in a sense that we are walking, but it's a metaphorical walk. It's a walk in which we conduct ourselves as Christians as the Spirit leads us. You know, after our baptism, what it's really saying is our walk changes its perspective. We see that in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's just turn there and look at what Ephesians chapter 2 has to say, verses 1 through 7. Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit who now works in the soul sons of disobedience. So Paul is telling them that before baptism, they once walked not according to the Spirit, not according to the Word of God, but according to the course of this world, according to the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So this walk is a walk of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We no longer walk according to the course of this world. We walk according to the prince. You know, we walk according to what Jesus Christ, what God has given us through the Spirit. That's what we are there. Brethren, it's clear to me that people no longer walk according to the flesh if they're Christians, if they've been baptized. You start a newness in life, and you start a new course of life, a new conduct of life, a new way of living. That's what we're talking about here. It's clear that God's people no longer walk according to the flesh, which is hostile to God, but they walk according to the Spirit, which is life and peace. And that life and peace is not necessarily a life and peace that the world provides for us. It's a life and peace that God provides for us. It is a way to walk, the way to conduct ourselves. In Romans 13, 11 through 14, Paul begins to define some specific activities that are according to the flesh. That is, those who walk according to the flesh. Just turn there with me to Romans chapter 13. And let's read verses 11 through 14. 11 through 14. And do this, knowing that the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And what is the armor of light? Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in licentiousness and lewdness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. You know, we are now walking not in the way we walk properly as in the day. We don't walk in the darkness. That's what Paul was saying here. We don't anymore conduct ourselves in revelry and drunkenness, in licentiousness and lewdness, in strife and envy. That walk is according to the world. That conduct is according to the flesh. The conduct that we exhibit, the way we walk metaphorically, the way we walk in the sense that we're talking about here in Scriptures, is according to the Spirit. Is what Jesus Christ and what God wants for us. Paul clearly enumerates the deeds of darkness or the provisions of the flesh, such as carousing, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, sensuality, strife, and jealousy. This conduct is practiced by any of those not walking on the road that God has set forth. This walk is a walk that is not pleasing to God. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's read verses 1 through 4. 3, 1 through 4. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Folks who walk according to the world are walking carnal-mindedly. That's what Paul says here. Those folks, you know, are walking in a way in which they demonstrate strife and envy and divisions, and they're behaving like mere men. That's being carnal-minded. But we aren't carnal-minded. Those of us who have been baptized and raised up, we walk in newness of life. We don't walk carnal-minded. We walk according to the Spirit. The difference in a walk directed by the Scriptures is that of a spiritual-mindedness as opposed to a fleshly mindset. When we speak of a spiritual walk, our focus is on Christ. Our focus is abiding in Him because of what He has done for all mankind. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And let me read verses 1 through 6. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him also ought to walk just as He walked. And how did Jesus walk? How did He conduct His life? Well, He conducted His life according to the instructions of His Father. He tells us that in numerous occasions in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's how He walked. His walk was not fleshly minded, was not carnally minded. It was spiritually minded. And He walked and He taught and He did what was right in the sight of His Father. Turn with me now to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, and let's read verses 1 through 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Well, how are we called? We're called by the Scriptures. We're called by the Scriptures. Paul, when he was baptized according to the calling of God, is what he said. And that's what we are. We have to be worthy of the calling with which you were called. What kind of conduct is that? What kind of calling? With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of this peace, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How should our walk be illustrated? How should our walk be seen by people in the world? It's seen as we walk with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, with patience, bearing with one another in love. That's how we conduct ourselves with one another. We do it in love. We do it in such a way that people can see God and Jesus Christ living in us. This calling, this walk, produces humility. It produces gentleness. It produces patience. It produces tolerance for one another. Ephesians 2:10 describes these attributes in this way: for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. What we have here is what God has prepared beforehand for us. There should not be any doubt as to how we need to walk, what our conduct needs to be. It's all right here written for us in the Scriptures. John, in his second letter, commended those for their walk. Why? Turn with me to 2 John. 2 John. And let's read verse 4. 2 John, verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we receive commandment from the Father. John commended them. I rejoice greatly, he said, because I found some of your children doing what? Walking in truth, as we receive commandment from the Father. That's how we need to walk. That's how we need to conduct ourselves. That's what people need to see us living in the world. Those who are not walking according to the Spirit, those who are walking according to the flesh, those who are living carnal-minded lives, they should see us having a different walk. We walk in truth, and that truth is found in the New Testament. That's how we walk. He says, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from Father. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. We should not have any doubts about how our lives should be, any doubts about how we should walk. We walk according to the Spirit. Ephesians 5:2 teaches us to be imitators of God. As beloved children, walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. This walk, this life that we have, this way that we live, this conduct that we show, needs to go to the point that we are willing to sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. That means when we have a choice and we know that our walk is carnal-minded or is getting us off the path, as Robert Frost says, I took the road less traveled. As we see ourselves getting off that road, we need to come back and get on it. We need to walk, and the people in the world need to see us. We walk in love. We love one another. We walk in truth. We walk worthy of the calling in which we have responded. Is to be the road in which makes all the difference, because it leads to eternal life with God in heaven. It is a walk that we agree on because it is a walk prepared beforehand by God. We cannot walk on a road promised by men, brethren. And there are ordinary men out there claiming to be preaching the word of God, claiming to be servants of Jesus Christ, but they are asking people to walk on a road that is not in accordance with the scriptures. We cannot walk on the road promised by man. No, our walk must be on the road that God has put before us, that God has developed. As Amos said in 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? No, they can't. So we need to be agreed to what? To what God has provided for us. We need to walk in that way. To walk acceptably in the light of God, it is essential that we give diligence to learning God's will. It is essential that we obey it from the heart. And so the question for all of us, the question that comes to my mind, as I walk my life down this road, and it's getting shorter and shorter, my life, believe me, when you get to my age, when you get to the age of folks who are in their 70s and 80s, you begin to think seriously about your walk, about what you have done, about how you have lived, and about the way you need to live. So I would encourage all of us to just remember what Robert Frost said. He says, I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Which indicates to me that ages and ages hence are after his life has ended. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And Jesus said, difficult is the way, and that's the walk, which leads to life, and there are few who find it. We need to take the walk, the one that is less traveled by, and that is the walk that Jesus Christ wants us to do. The walk that God has provided for us beforehand in the scriptures. And if you're here today and you've not been baptized into Jesus Christ, you've not gone down in that watery grave after confessing and knowing that He is the Savior, after having repented of your sins, and come up and begin to walk in newness of life. Begin a walk that will bring you to eternal destiny, that you will certainly enjoy and be a reward. And if you have need help in this walk, we remain ready to do that. If there's any way that we can help you, let us know as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.